on this last Sunday of 2012. Go ahead and open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 11. So what's tomorrow night? New Year's Eve. Night where people go out partying, doing all sorts of crazy things, watching the ball drop on TV and doing all sorts of stuff. As I like to joke with the kids, people going out having hoot nannies. And as Cameron used to call, aunt nannies. Are they having an aunt nanny? What in the world, aunt nanny? What's one of the first things we think of when we think of New Year's? What do people do? Resolutions, right. Resolutions. How many of us have made a resolution? Oh, come on. I'm the only one who's made a New Year's resolution in my entire life. Come on, let's be honest. Who's made a New Year's resolution? All right, there we go. How many of us have ever kept them? All right, I think I see one or two hands. That's about the common thing with the New Year's resolution. Yeah, has anybody ever wondered when that all started? New Year's resolutions? No, Dave, you can't cheat. You got a little preview this morning in Life Group. New Year's resolutions, the first recorded actual official making a stance to do New Year's resolutions was 4,000 years ago in Babylon. How about that? 4,000 years ago, that's the first recorded New Year's resolution. They used to gather for 11 days of hootenannies, and they would make resolutions to their God so that they could appease their God. You know, and people kind of do the same things when we make resolutions, don't we? Oh, I'm going to lose weight this year, or I'm gonna quit doing this, or I'm gonna do more, give more, and so we don't really do it out of a heart or spirit to the Lord. We're trying to do it to help better ourselves. But whether you make New Year's resolutions or not, and I'm not saying it's wrong or whatever you want to do. If you want to make a New Year's resolution, go for it. Whether you make one or not this year, going into 2012 or 2013. All right. The one thing for certain is that when 2012 is over, it's over. You can't go back. You can't make changes. You can't go, nope, you know what? I didn't like what I did back in February of 2012. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to change it. Can we do that? No. Once 2013 comes in, it's over. When that calendar flips over, the year 2012 is done. Can never make changes in it again. Listen, you can't change 2012, but you can make changes in the days ahead, can't you? You can make changes. Maybe you're someone out there who's struggling with something in your life. Maybe this past year was just a horrible year for you, and it ain't over. Maybe the circumstances that are happening in your life are still continuing. Listen, you can't change what's happened in the past, but you've got the days ahead of you to make some changes. Listen, maybe you're struggling out there under the weight of some other burden, like an addiction or some other kind of struggle. Maybe you're having family issues. Maybe you're having financial issues. Whatever the problem is, whatever the bondage may be, whatever the struggle may be, listen, maybe you're just wanting to grow more in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't change what you did in the past, or maybe what you didn't do in the past. But you can make changes going forward in the days ahead. Listen, you can seek change in your life. And tonight, we're going to look at a great passage here in Scripture where we saw change in the lives of believers. And we're going to learn three great principles from God's Word tonight on how you can seek change. Tonight's message is called New Year, New Life. Let's read in 1 Corinthians here, chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for this opportunity to come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ to just share in fellowship and share in worship of you through our song service. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity here to learn and grow from your word. Lord, tonight I need you tonight to just fill me with your spirit. Help me to just set myself aside. Lord, fill me with your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and help me just to be a simple tool for you to use to share your truth with everyone here tonight. And help all of us, just all of us, to have a heart and a burden, eager and ready to learn and grow from your word. Lord, help us to see the principles that we can't change the past, but take these principles we're learning tonight and apply them in our life on how we can change and grow closer to you. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' holy name. So how can you seek change in your life going into 2013? Well, the first way is by accepting that you have a past. Before you start making any change at all in your life, you got to understand you have a past and you have to accept it. Look at verses 9 and 10. Now, Paul's writing to the Corinthians here. These are believers. This is a church. This is a group of people who have trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. The problem is they weren't acting like it. They were totally carnal. They were totally fleshly. They were living like the world. That people would look at the church and they couldn't see any difference between them and the unsaved citizens there in the city of Corinth. And Paul's writing this letter to admonish them and to encourage them. And we get a little picture, a description of what some of these people in Corinth were like prior to accepting Christ. Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He's given this as an example to them. This is the life they were living. He says, "And such were some of you." They had a past. The Corinthian believers here had a past. All of us have something we cannot escape from, and that's a past. I have a past, you have a past. And listen, there's a lot of believers out there and a lot of non-believers who are struggling and caught under the burdens of their past. They're totally overwhelmed by what they've done in their past life. Listen, every minute that ticks by in our lives, guess what? It's gone. It's more in our past. More in our past. Listen, whether you're 100 years old or one day old, you have a past. And those past moments you can no longer change. And there's a lot of people struggling under the burden of their past. I'm sure there was a lot of these believers in Corinth that Paul was admonishing them here. Listen, these kind of people, these fornicators, idolaters, all that, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of them were still doing it. They were struggling under the weight of their past. Maybe things have happened to you that you can't control. Maybe you've done things that you wish you had never, ever done before. I know people who have done some mean and hurtful things in their lives. I've known of people who have just treated their mother and their father horribly, and then they pass away before they can make amends. And they're just caught in this burden of how they treated their loved one, and now they can't make any changes with them. Listen, they're caught in their past. As a result of the tremendous burden from these past events, they view themselves in a negative light and more than likely think that God has no place for them or that He cannot use them. Listen, I'm sure there may be some of you out there right now who may be struggling with some degree of this issue. Some degree of this issue. Listen, verses 9 and 10 here describe what the past of some of these Corinthian believers looked like. And listen, it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. Full of sexual sin, full of adultery, idolatrousness, abusers of themselves, doing just horrible, wicked things with other people. They were thieves. They were desiring others. They were drunkards, just going out and acting crazy, being consumed by some kind of substance. Listen, they had a past and it wasn't pretty. And I'm sure as we look at this list here, man, that may describe some of us. You may be looking at that list going, man, this is the last message of 2012. I hope he doesn't end here. I see myself there. Do you see your past there? Were you involved in sexual sin? Maybe there's somebody out there, maybe not you, maybe it's somebody you know, who just had all sorts of sexual relationships outside of marriage. Maybe they cheated on their husband or their wife. Maybe they have some other kind of struggle, maybe pornography. Maybe they're hooked to the internet and what's happening there. You know, maybe you took things that didn't belong to you. Maybe you selfishly desired what other people had. Maybe you went out and you drowned your sorrows and your hurts with alcohol, drugs, or other substances. Listen, maybe you allowed anger and bitterness to dominate your life, blaming others for the actions and the circumstances around you, and so on and so forth. Maybe you can look at this list here and go, wow, that's me. That's me. I'm in Christ, but wow, that's me. Maybe you can look at that and you're going, wow, is there any hope? How did I get there? How do I change this person that I have become? Listen, it's important to remember, all right? It's important to remember that you have a past. Because listen, when you begin to forget where you came from, when you begin to forget where you came from and you go, you know what? That may be me, but I'm in Christ. It's not who I am anymore. And you forget about it and set it aside. Then all of a sudden you start to get prideful and haughty and looking down at others. That's why it's important to always remember. You really want to change, remember your past. There's only one way that I'm able to help those with struggling with addictions. It's because I remember exactly where I was. And when I remember exactly where I was back in those days, drowning my sorrows with alcohol and all sorts of other substances, it's when I remember what Christ did in my life. And even when I was down in the pit, struggling, not knowing where to go or what to do, there was Christ. And He loved me, and He saved me, and brought me out of that pit. And every time that I begin to forget, man, I think back to the past, and it humbles me. It humbles me. Listen, number one, it offers hope. If you're struggling with this issue, with these issues, you got struggles in your life and bad circumstances, you don't know what to do. Number one, there's hope. There's hope. But man, maybe you are a believer and you're grounded, you're serving. Don't forget who you were before Christ. You really want to change. You really want to change. You really want to start something new in your life in 2013. Don't forget where you came from. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Listen, I've seen believers who forgot where they came from. And man, they talk bad about people and they look down on people. Man, what's their problem? Why are they doing that? I bet you they're not saved. Man, that's pride. That's pride, and that's a dangerous spot to be in. And when you find yourself caught in that haughty spirit, there's no change. You're not changing. The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble." Give grace to the humble. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Only with pride cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Don't forget where you came from. When you forget where you came from, that's when that haughty, judgmental spirit comes in. And listen, it's going to stunt your spiritual growth. It's going to hurt that relationship you have with Christ. Stay humble. Don't forget where you came from. Listen, one of the major keys to understand about change in your life is understanding you have a past. Paul, right here in this passage and in this whole letter of 1 Corinthians, confronted the Corinthian believers with their past. He said, "Listen, look at this. This is what the lost world is doing. This is how they're acting. This is what they look like. They're not going to inherit the kingdom. So why are you acting like that?" Why are you acting like that? How are they going to see the hope that is found in Jesus Christ if you're not living it? You're not living it. Remember, that's who you were. Don't forget your past. So how can you seek change in your life? Well, you got to accept you have a past. And that leads to our second point, which is by trusting in the freedom only found in Christ. Now, this is one of my favorite phrases in this whole section of the passage. It's fantastic. Look at verse 11, the first part. I've said it before, but now we're going to focus on it. It says, and such were some of you. He goes on and he lists all these things, all this sexual sin, all this just drunkenness and thievery. And then he says, and such were some of you. Listen, your past can be a scary thing. And Satan likes to throw that up into your face sometimes. Man, you'll be sitting at the top of the world doing wonderful things for the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, past will come back. Man, there's times I'll be working on a message or something or in the office and just stuff will pop in my head from my past. And I'm like, oh, quit. Get out of there. I don't want that. That's not who I am. Man, it can be a scary thing having a past. But there's a great, great set of truth right here in that beginning phrase of chapter 11. And that's in such were some of you. Listen, did it say, did Paul write here, did he say, and such are some of you? No. Did he say, and such may, you may be that? No, he said, you were. What does that word were mean? It's past tense. It's past tense. I think of Brother Frank over here. I didn't mean to call you out, but we went over and had dinner with him once when we got to meet and became great friends of Shauna and I. They had us over at the house, and he's got this cool setup of his picture and his medals from being in the Navy and whatnot. And I was just kind of thinking, you know, if I had just met him for the first time, maybe they had us over for a life group event. And I saw that, what would I say? I'd say, hey, Frank, were you in the Navy? And he'd say, yeah, look at that thing over there. Well, would I be thinking that he's going to don his uniform and go off to work and go sail off? No, he ain't in the Navy anymore. Do you still fit in your uniform? No, I don't either. I don't either. I pulled my blues out once. And I'm like, whoo, they ain't going to happen. They ain't going to happen. I think there's a bumper sticker that said, no longer lean, but still mean and green. It had the Marine Corps emblem on. This ain't lean, let me tell you. I've got my own New Year's resolution list going on. No, means, he ain't in the Navy anymore. He's not on active duty. He's not donning his uniform. He's not going to go off on board ship and do what he does. It's done. It's not who he is anymore. He was in the Navy. And listen, this word were is an important word here. It's very important. It's probably the pivotal phrase in this set of passages, this set of verses right here. Listen, how did the Corinthian believers put their old life behind them? Because that's the key right here. Paul says, look at all this. This is who you were. Means you're no longer any of that. That's not who you are. You're not an idolater anymore. You're not a fornicator. You're not a thief. You're not a drunkard. You're not an extortioner. That was you, but it's gone. How'd they do that? How did they go from being just that sinful self to now this new thing? It's only through Jesus Christ. You see that at the end of verse 11. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're saved by grace through faith. And it's all in Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, one of my favorite passages says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, those of you in March, man, come on out. Take sharing and defending your faith. Because that's going to be key. Getting the word out to let people know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. These Corinthian believers, they were fornicators, idolaters, drunkards. They were struggling under their past, but then they found Jesus. They found the way, the truth, and the life. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." At the moment that we were at our lowest, at the moment that we were nothing but this list of ungodliness, Christ paid the ultimate price on that cross on Calvary for people who did not love Him, did not care for Him, showed no respect, wanted nothing that He had to bring, and yet He did it for us anyways. And all we simply have to do is just accept that gift. Listen, the believers in Corinth, like you and I, were lost in our sins. They were lost, separated from the righteousness of God. But then they acknowledged their sin against God and placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, you no longer have to be consumed by your past, and your past no longer has to define who you are anymore. Listen, you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Listen, in Freedom Found on our Monday nights when we go through our 13-week curriculum, there's one thing I can tell you right now. I don't focus on the sin. I don't focus on the problem. We don't stand up and go, "Hi, my name is Shannon Dan. I'm an alcoholic." You know why? Because in Christ, I'm not anymore. I'm not. I'm made a new person. So we don't focus on the problem. I don't get you to tell me your life story in front of everyone. Now, we focus on Christ. I don't want you to focus on the problem. I want you to focus on the solution, because the solution is what's going to change your life. It's the solution. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who paid the penalty. And it's through Him. He's the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. You no longer have to be consumed by your past. Your past is no longer who you are. If you're in Christ, you're no longer that drunkard. You're no longer a fornicator. You're no longer an idolater. And so on and so forth. Listen, no matter what you may call yourself, no matter what others may call you, somebody wants to get all holier than thou and get in your face, say, "How do you do that? You're just nothing but a drunkard." Say, "No, I'm in Christ. I'm not a drunkard. I'm in Christ. I may be struggling, but listen, that's not who I am anymore. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ." How are you going to seek change going into 2013? How are you going to find that new life? We can make resolutions, and you may change for a bit. There's only one way to make real change. You got to accept and acknowledge. You got to pass. You got to pass no matter what. It's what I did. You're right. I did it. You name it, I did it. But then you need to trust in the freedom only Jesus Christ can provide. That's right. That is. I was a drunkard. I did struggle with that. But man, I trusted in Christ. And He took all that issue away. He solved that problem. But then you got to rest in your new life in Christ. You can't just stop at accepting Christ. You can't just acknowledge, "Man, I got this past. It's horrible. It's haunting me. I need to find the way, the truth, the life. Accept Christ," and then stop. Now it's a matter of resting in your new life. Look at it, verse 11 again. He said, "And such were some of you." It's not who you are anymore. And here's the next great word in the Bible: "but." I love that word. Man, Paul goes on, he lists all these things that are just, man, I read that list going, "Man, I've done some of those. And such were some of you, but you may have been that, but now there's something new." It says, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Listen, there's an awesome thing that happens when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not only are you made free from the penalty that sin had over you, no longer does that penalty hold sway. What do we read in Romans chapter 6? For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's done. No longer is that penalty a part of your life. Because it goes on to say the gift is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, there's an awesome thing that happens when you rest in Christ. You're free from the penalty of that sin, but listen, you also gain a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. But it doesn't stop there. It says, old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, that's a promise. That's something that's happened. When you're in Christ, you're new. You're new. Don't let the world, don't let your friends, don't let your neighbors, don't let your family members, don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Don't let Satan, don't let your own thoughts tell you otherwise. You're a new creature. That old life is gone. It's passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul says you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. So all of your old life is now passed away. That is no longer who you are. All things are all new. So when that past creeps up again, and you want to say you're a failure, or you want to say, man, I'm just struggling, I can't be used of God, it's a lie. It's a lie. Don't believe it. You're a new creature. That old thing's passed away. You're new. You're a new person. You've got new life. Listen, every day as you rest in Christ and seek to grow in your relationship with Him through His Word, you grow in that new life. That's that whole idea of resting in your life in Christ. I think about, I had this great t-shirt. Sadly, it's no longer around. I got it. It became a holy t-shirt, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, but it was awesome. I mean, the minute I would clock out from work, I'd be thinking about that shirt on the way home. Why? Because it was comfortable. It was awesome. You know, I was ready to take off the work clothes and just put that shirt on. It's fantastic. It's kind of like a warm pair of jeans. Anybody know that? Man, you throw your jeans in the dryer, they get all warm and loose. Just woo. It's awesome. You know? You just kind of sink into it and you just rest in those things. I was sharing with the life group this morning. You know, I took a nap this morning. I was looking over my notes and then like I kind of conked out in the chair. When you rest, all right, are you still, you know, working on your paper or on your work or anything? No, you're resting. You're not moving. You're content. You're happy. I hope you're happy. You know, if not, go back to the first point. Accept your past and then accept Christ. Move on. Come on. Listen, when you rest, it's quiet. You're all comfy under the blanket. You're all secure. You don't try and do other things. I don't try and rest and mow the yard at the same time. Doesn't work. Okay? This idea of resting in Christ is accepting the fact that you're that new creature. You have this new life. It's a done deal. Don't debate it anymore. Just accept it. That's the whole deal of faith. We can believe it. Rest in it. I don't sit there and debate on how well the bed's going to hold me. I don't argue with my pillow. No. I just lay down and get some rest. I can argue with it later, but I want rest. And that's the idea with Christ. Well, we get into these whole debates with ourselves. You know, we make a mistake and, oh, I'm a failure. No, you're not. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. You're a new creature. Man, I deal with some of these guys and ladies in the addictions ministry. And they do. They mess up. They stumble. And they backslide. And I mean, I got a whole message that just talks about, so what? I don't care. Just don't do it again. But if you do, guess what? I'll be there and I'll encourage you back. because that's not who you are anymore. You may be struggling. It may have a hold on you. But it ain't going to win the victory. You've already won the victory. Now rest in it. And most of them, when you talk to them, and listen, I'm focused on the addictions people, but I'm telling you, some of you out there who think you don't have an issue, deal with this. I know you do. And when you talk to them, it's the same common thing over and over again. I'm useless. I'm a failure. God can't use me. It's just, I guess, I'm just going to have to deal with this the rest of my life. No, that's a lie. Because you're a new creature. You got to rest in that relationship with Christ. Just accept the fact that you're free. You don't have to struggle with that anymore. Rest in your relationship with Christ. Man, like you're resting in that bed. There's three great, awesome ways that this has happened in your life that are listed right here in chapter or verse 11. I mean, this is awesome stuff. Every time I look at this passage and I think about it, because we look at this and we talk about this passage on Monday nights and some of the lessons, man, I just get so excited because it's so great because I've been there. And when I think about what the Lord has done in my life and still doing, man, it gets exciting. You want to just dance around. This is great stuff. Three awesome things here. Not only do you have a new life in Christ, all right? You get saved, you accept Christ, you're now a new creature, your old things are passed away, you're no longer seen in your sin, you're seen in God's Son, Jesus Christ, all right? But you're free from the penalty of sin, that's that death, but now you're free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has control over you. Do you know that? Do you know that? When you look at God's Word, you're free from the power of sin. The only reason it has a hold in your life is because you've allowed it. You've opened a door. Listen, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Ephesians 1:13 says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Man, let me tell you what, that means you're in God's hands. Nothing can touch you, only what you allow into your life. Because look at these three things that happen. Look at verse 11. He goes, he lists those sins, and then he says, such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The first thing is you're washed. What does it mean to be washed? It means to be clean. It means before Christ, you were dirty, filthy, covered all over. That's what your sin did. You were just filthy with sin. But now you're washed. You're washed clean. It's all by the blood of Christ. Man, I think about when I was stationed in Okinawa, we had a jungle warfare training thing I went through. And part of it was 150 yards of just these little channels cut into the dirt. They weren't even ditches. They were smaller than a ditch, covered in barbed wire. And it was all clay. Have you ever smelled real natural clay? All that stuff stinks. It's bad. And the trainers would go through before each group would go through with a hose and get it all wet. And man, you would have to low crawl down through this and you're just getting through and you have to go under barbed wire and lifting it up. And then there's parts where it's all murky clay water and you got to go underwater through these tunnels, dragging all your gear. Man, you're head to toe covered in clay. Look like just a bunch of clay, you know, Marines just stuck together. If you moved, you know, too slow, it'd dry and be stuck. Nah, you're just filthy and you stink. That stuff is rancid. It's horrible. It's horrible. I'd rather sleep in a dumpster than crawl through that stuff. That's how bad it is. Ah, it's nasty. But you go through this. It's 150 yards. It takes you almost an hour to get through it all. And then you trudge with all your gear and you go to a zip line. And it's over a lake. And it's 50, 60 feet up in the air, sliding down. And you let go and you drop into that lake. And I mean, you sink fast. You got all your gear and all that. And then you got to try and get your gear off before you drown and whatnot. And they'll let you go for a while, trust me. And so you're getting all your stuff going. But, you know, they say they got rescue divers, but I didn't see anybody there with equipment. But nobody died, nobody drowned, so that's good. You learn how to get that equipment off real fast. So you get it all off, and when you come off, man, all that time struggling under the water, it's like a washing machine agitating everything. You come out all nice and clean. All that clay just runs off. And listen, you're not that murky, stinky, clay-filled marine anymore. That's that same picture. Before Christ, you're nothing but dirty, stinky. I'm serious, I know it may sound funny, but it is. But Christ washes you. Man, His blood that He shed on that cross just washes those sins away. You're washed. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Listen, it's nothing we have done. That's what's so awesome. You want to have a new life? You want to get over this bondage in your life? You don't have to do a thing. Christ has done it all. Just rest in it. Just rest in that life that Christ gave you. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. I think of the song Miss Constance sang this morning. Ooh, that was awesome. Mercy said no. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You're washed. You're made clean. You're regenerated. You're made new. You're renewed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you're not that old person anymore. You're not covered in that filth of your sin anymore. You're washed. But then secondly, you're sanctified. Sanctified. Sanctified means to be purified on the inside. It means to be set aside for a holy service. It means you're sanctified in Christ from the get-go, but then day by day, as you grow in your relationship, you get sanctified, you get purified more and more, you rest more and more in Him. I think of Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's presenting yourself just before Christ, living unto Him. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Man, that sounds heavy duty. But then he goes on and tells you how to do it. It's very simple. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, you get in God's Word. You rest in that relationship with Christ. Listen, I don't have to every day when I wake up go, Shauna, are we still married? You still love me? You know? I don't have to do that. Now I'm rest assured. She loves me. We're married. Got this ring. Got a symbol of it. I just rest in it. Man, if I kept doing that every day, it's been almost 6 years. February will be 6 years. We probably wouldn't be married for too much longer. She'd be like, oh, shut up. I can't take it. I love you. Get over it. Come on. You know, quit. Just accept it. Rest in it. Present yourself. Renew your mind. Renew your thinking. Build that relationship. Just as I build my relationship with Shauna, I do it by spending time with her, talking to her, sharing new things with her. Just spending that alone time together. You need to do that with Christ through His Word. He says renewing your mind. You can do that through His Word. Listen, if you're not spending time with them, you're not going to have that close relationship. And that's where that daily sanctification comes. That's where that daily growth comes. That's where when those old thoughts of your past life get thrown in your face, you don't go, oh, and you quit and you give up. You go, no, get out of my head. Thank you, Lord. You go to Him in prayer. And it's gone. There was a time in my life where it was a struggle. Every little bump in the road that came my way, I'd go out, get a case of beer and a carton of cigarettes. That was my relief. And 2 years ago when my dad died, guess what? That was the first thought that came in my head. It's time to go get a case of beer and a carton of cigarettes. That old thought came back. I've been saved since 98. But listen, this time, because resting in Christ, knowing that that's not who I am anymore, I said, nope, and that was it. That thought lasted about that long. And I cast my eyes back on God's Word and focused on Him and helping my loved ones. But that sanctification, that only comes by resting in your relationship with Christ. I mean, you got that initial sanctification when he paid those sins on the cross. But man, you got to grow, you got to rest. But the third thing is you're justified. This is so cool. You're justified. Not you will be justified, you are justified. To be justified is to be found not guilty. Think about that. Think about you were standing before a judge facing the death penalty. And someone else steps in and says, hey, I'll pay it for him. Make him not guilty. And that's what the judge does. That's what Christ did. We were all guilty facing death. And he died on the cross. And as a result, we're justified. We're found not guilty before God. That's awesome. Man, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. You're not guilty. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, look at this, as a result of being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God. You don't have to worry about your relationship with Him. Just rest in it. Just rest in it. Don't fight against it. Just rest in it. Once you've taken the step of trusting in Christ, you got to rest in that new life that He gives you. And just like any other relationship, as I was sharing with you about my relationship with Shauna, it's a daily process of spending time with Him. You spend time with Him through prayer, just that one-on-one quiet time, maybe going through some scripture and praying the scripture to Him. You know, you need that one-on-one time with Him. But then you need that time with Him spent in His Word, just studying and digging deep and looking up the verses and seeing what He has to say and seeing how it applies in your life. But listen, you need to have that fellowship with Christ with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ too. You know, that's what's so cool is the Bible says that the hope of glory is what? Christ in us. We got Christ in us. So every time we spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're spending time with Christ. And listen, they'll be there to encourage you and to strengthen you when you're down and to share God's Word. When you're acting like that fool again and letting your past clog your mind, man, I'm just, you know, I'm worthless. I'm just going to keep struggling with this. You say, no, stop it. Stop it. You're a new creature. You're in Christ. Get your head out of there. Come on, get focused. Build that relationship back. Get back into that time of prayer. Listen, you don't have to be a slave to your past anymore. You don't. If you're a believer in Christ, put off your old habits. Put off those old sinful habits and seek to grow in your new life in Christ. Simple as that. Just rest in that new life. If it ain't going to help you serve Christ, it ain't going to help you grow in Christ, you don't need it. You don't need it. It's as simple as that. Listen, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior before, if you're still struggling with the sin issue, man, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't go home and lay down on your bed not taking care of that issue. Let Him wash you, sanctify you, justify you. You help Him get you free from that bondage in your life. Listen, maybe you are a believer and you're still struggling. Because it can be tough, I know. I know. Some of these things of bondage out there can just get a grip on your life. And it can be a tough struggle. Listen, starting January 7th, that's a week from Monday, we're starting the 13-week cycle again. And we're going to do it every 13 weeks. We're going to keep it going. You can start anytime, every Monday, 6:30 over in the Life Building. Doesn't matter whether you have a drinking problem, a drug problem, a fear problem, a worry problem, or you know what? You just want another night to come out and grow in the Lord. Come on out. Come on out. I can guarantee you'll get some good principles from God's Word. You'll have some great fellowship with others. And listen, you'll learn how God's Word will apply in your life. Whether you're a new believer just learning what it means to be in Christ or a seasoned believer that's still struggling with bondage, it doesn't matter what your struggle may be. All right? Whatever your struggle may be, you can find that new life in the days ahead. But you need to realize your past, accept it, it's there, it's not going away. But it doesn't have to rule you. You need to find your true source of freedom, which is just Jesus Christ alone. That's it. and then you need to rest in that new life you have in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.